Morning's reading is from the book of Matthew, the end of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. It's on page 1011 if you have access to a pew Bible. So that's Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. I kind of feel that this morning my sermon should come with a bit of a health warning. That health warning is you may not want to hear. I remember as a young man, whenever somebody came up to speak about that dreadful word evangelism, or going out into the world, I kind of used to sit there thinking, yeah, I'm not going to do that. No way. And Michael Harvey was saying that one of the problems that they had with the Back to Church Sunday was that they discovered that at least 85%, 90% of the people who were being challenged to go out and bring somebody back to church on that Sunday had absolutely no intention whatsoever of doing it. Now, of course, that's not true of Christchurch Downend. You're all gagging to go out there and tell everybody and go forth and fulfill this thing. I know that. But just in case there are one or two of you who are a little bit more anxious, you have been warned. It could be time to know. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that sometimes it comforts us, at other times it challenges us and takes us out of our comfort zone. And today, as we think about going forth, will you inspire us and give us a sense that this is possible? In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, you might want to find Acts 26 and put a finger in that, because I am going to look at it in a little while and it'll save you looking for it. And we've also got our reading of Matthew 28, which maybe Johnny will put up on the screen for us when he comes back. Sorry, that's that moment he was slipping out, and I then asked him to put the screen up, but he's put it up. Fantastic. I don't know if you can see what's happening there in that packet, in that package. The disciples have come together and they see Jesus appear and they worship him, and some of them doubt. Now, that's a really liberating thing, isn't it? Here are the disciples, and Jesus is with them, and some of them are still doubting. So if you're kind of feeling anxious, we're going to talk about kind of going out and speaking about Christ and going out there, that's okay. That's absolutely fine, and there'll be some of us for whom that'll be the last thing that we want to do. But they worshipped him, and then Jesus came to them and said. And what I thought was really interesting in that is that before you ever get to this going forth, Jesus is there. He's with them and he's speaking with them. Now, in the Bible, God speaks to people in many different ways. He spoke through Jesus, through his preaching, through his teaching, through the miracles and the healings that he did. He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar and the wise men through dreams. He spoke to Elijah at times in a still small voice, almost like a breath of wind. He spoke to Moses famously through a burning bush. He spoke to Samuel in the middle of the night in audible words, so audible that he kind of went and went and asked and said, "Eli, why have you called me? I'm here." I remember in an Alpha course once asking on Jesus to come and thinking God's not doing anything. And afterwards, a man said to me, "Chris, when you asked God to send his Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke to me so clearly that I turned round to look for him." God speaks in different ways. Sometimes he speaks through miraculous signs. At the day of Pentecost, people spoke in different tongues and people looked and realized that God was speaking. Now, when God speaks to us, when we hear or see him at work, then something happens. Last year, I was in Uganda, it was Uganda, around the time of Soul Survivor. And I got this text from Johnny through Soul Survivor. And it was a great text, the kind of thing that you want as a dad. It basically said, "Dad, first ever genuine convo with God." It was a great text. I don't know the whole story behind that, but something had happened, an encounter with God that led him to say, "Hey, something happened. God spoke to me." I was slightly more concerned about the second text, which came after, which said, "Calling East Africa." And I thought, "Oh no, not again." But actually, Jesus speaks, and then we have something to share. Now, if you've got Acts 26 open, you will find that it's a description of how Paul is hauled up before the throne of King Agrippa, and he is called to give an account of why he is doing the things that he is doing and what he is doing it for. And he says that it's all about when he encountered Jesus. And Jesus spoke to him on the road and said in verse 16, "Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you," there's Jesus present again, "to appoint you as a servant, as in a witness." Now listen to these words, because these were one of the most liberating passages I've ever come across in this whole area of going forth. He said, "I am appointing you as a witness of what you have seen of me today and what I will show you." And what a relief that was. That is just easy. Johnny did it without even thinking about it. Because Jesus is not asking us to go out there with amazing proof texts and massive arguments and all those kind of things, although as we go on in life, we learn some of them. But actually, what he's wanting us to do is to share our experience of how we met Jesus, what it means to us, and what we have been learning through the years. Now, all of us may have different experiences, and that is absolutely fine, because there is no right or wrong here. There's no right or wrong experience. It is ours. And whatever experience we have had of God, it is fine. That is what we are called to share. Now, I told you this came with a health warning. Because actually, sometimes we need to speak. So I'm going to ask you to turn to somebody next to you. And I'm going to ask you to find out something. It's very, very easy. Just find out why they came to church today. Now, it might be because somebody dragged them along and forced them to come along. It might be because, you know, it could be terrible. Just find out why they came to church today and whether they're enjoying it or not. So go for it. Okay, now that was easy. That was really easy. Now I'm going to just challenge you a little bit more. I want you to find out from the people you're with just one occasion maybe where they think that they have experienced God or felt God speak to them. Now, it might be that for some of us here, actually, we've never experienced God, and that'll be what we share. You know, I'm here, but I don't really know what's going on. That's just as important to share as anything else. Or it might be that there was a time when you were going through difficulty and you experienced God meeting you in some way. So find out from the other person if they've ever had an experience or something where they felt that God or Jesus has spoken to them or they felt God very close to them. Okay? Go for it. Okay. Now, some of you at this point are loving me because I've given you a chance to speak and you love speaking. Some of you are hating me because you hate being asked to speak, and particularly about things that are personal and might be doing things. But actually, just think for a moment about what we have done. And think about what you have heard. I suspect that some of us have been really encouraged. I was really encouraged by the person I spoke to at Quakers Road, who shared very honestly with me and shared about their doubts and their concerns. That was very special. And I was encouraged by them. And I'm sure that you've probably been encouraged by hearing somebody else's story or something that you haven't heard before. But think about, too, if you spoke out and did that, you might have felt slightly embarrassed. You might have felt not sure what to say or emotional, whatever it might be. But it may also be that there's actually a sense of achievement. I've actually shared something, I've spoken something, and someone's listened, and it's been appreciated and valued. And we never know what impact our words will have on other people. And actually, that's not our issue. Sometimes when we talk about going forth, we kind of say to people, you've got to go and invite your friends to come, or got to go forth out there and speak about God. And we put this burden on people and say, you know, you've got to succeed and people have got to be really interested and come back. But actually, that's just not true. Our responsibility is to speak. And in the speaking, we will discover that the truth that Christ is with us, that God is with us wherever we are. Because one of the things that Jesus tells us, he tells us where we're to go and speak, where we're to go forth, is to go out. And actually, that word go is a little bit misleading, Paul Aguda says, because we think of it as Jesus stands here and sends us out on our own. Whereas actually, the word is not just go, it means travel. And I'm with you as you travel. In Uganda, in Swahili, it's safari, a journey. And as we journey together, as we journey into the world, as we speak out and answer questions, so God promises that he is with us. Now, the great thing is we've all done it now. We've all shared something, so we know we can. Well, most of us have. And it doesn't matter if you haven't. Because, you know, there's one thing in that. There is no right or wrong. It's not an exam to pass. Nobody is passing judgment on it. It's our experience. And all Jesus asks of us is to be willing in the appropriate place to share what we've learned of him and what he's going to go on to share us as we go out. And going out is a huge growth opportunity. Pope Francis says that a church, and by that he means Christian people who don't go out, are unhealthy from being confined. You know what it's like when you're in a place all the time and you can't get out? You just, after a while, start to hate it. And if all we do is spend our time in church together, trying to be nice to each other, quite frankly, we're going to just go up the wall and need to get out. Because actually, that's not what it's about. We are a missionary community called to live out there for Christ and to come back here to encourage one another and lift each other up. And those who do it, like those who've been involved in street pastors or the soup runs or others, know how incredibly inspiring and uplifting it is. Quite frankly, most of the time I feel too tired. I think, oh, I can't do those kind of things. But when I get over myself and actually go and do those things, we begin to discover that actually God is at work and it's much better. And I think for a lady called Janet who went to Uganda and lived with a very poor community, she got very sick, she suffered, it was dirty, it wasn't very good. I was really worried about her. She said it was the best week of her entire life because she discovered God in that place. And Pope Francis says that evangelizers take on the smell of the sheep, and so the sheep are willing to hear their voice. And there is something about going to the people who are broken, who are poor, who are rejected, and being with them, that actually it hurts us and it's a cost to us, but then that is often where we see God most at work. I don't know where God is calling you, but wherever it is, it will be exciting. When do we do it? Well, we're always open, and I just love the story I heard earlier this week about a lady from the Salvation Army. And her job for the Salvation Army, she was kind of in the office, and she had to order the coffee and the tea and the biscuits for the Salvation Army. And being a large Salvation Army and the work that they do, it was a lot of tea and coffee and biscuits. And so she resolved that she would go to the same supermarket at the same time and to the same till and the same person every time that she bought this tea and coffee. And after about 3 months of going almost every other day to the same till and buying tea or coffee, the woman there sitting at the till said, "Excuse me, I hope you don't mind me asking, but are you all right?" And she said, "Why?" She said, "Well, you only ever buy biscuits and coffee. And I'm a bit worried about you." And she said, "Well, no, actually, it's because I'm buying them for the Salvation Army and for church." "Oh," she said, "that's really interesting." And she carried on, week in, week out, going to the same one. And when it came to Christmas, as she was wishing the lady happy Christmas, she said to her, "Do you know, it just occurs to me that we have our Salvation Army carol service coming up, and I'd just be so pleased if you would be my guest, because I feel like I've got to know you." And the woman said, "That would be lovely, but do you mind if I bring my family?" She said, "No, that's fine." And apparently at that service there were 12 of that lady's family all sitting in a row with that lady there on the end. All because she decided to go to the same till each week at the same time. Not putting any pressure on anyone, just thinking that'll build up a relationship. She went out. And just imagine how that lady felt sitting there with 12 people in the pew beside her. And that learning that she went through of going out and intentionally thinking, "I'm going to do something for God, even if it's only a little step change." And all of us can maybe resolve not to go out suddenly and be transformed into these amazing, wonderful people who just talk about Jesus all the time. Actually, it's a bit of a pain when people do that, really, because people just run away from you. But people who are willing in the right moment and the right place just to share a little bit about what we've known about Jesus when people want to know. Or to do a step change, to think about the way we shape our lives in order to do it. A friend of mine, he used to, on the back of the bus, when everyone was telling dirty jokes, he always made sure that he learned a clean joke. And after 6 months, and when he got nearly to the end of a lot of clean jokes, somebody turned around and said, "Hugh, why do you always tell clean jokes and not dirty ones? We've noticed." And then he began to talk a little bit about Jesus. It's great. And then people start to want to come along that lady into the life of the church because something's happening. And then there's a challenge. Because you notice in our thing that the disciples were worshipping and some were doubting. Jesus sent them out. He went with them. And we know that, say, at Pentecost, 3,000 people got converted. Now imagine 3,000 people onto that poor small group of 120 disciples who've been having a lovely time worshipping together, breaking bread together, really friends, you know, been through stuff together. Suddenly it's 3,000 extra people they've got to get to know. They must have had to change the way they ordered their life and their worship. It must have been difficult. And the challenge for us is if we're going to be going forth and inviting people in the end, hopefully, or just seeing people wanting to come back, then we also have to create a church which is open, that has open doors. It's good to see the doors open at the moment, but also open hearts. And the challenge sometimes is that actually in church, when we've been here for a while, we start becoming arbiters of grace rather than facilitators of grace. And we need to watch that we don't become consumers of worship. Consumers are people who take, aren't they? And they eat things and they want to be satisfied for themselves. And the problem about being a consumer of our worship is that we become precious about it and we want it to fulfill us. And so we look for the things that we like and we affirm those, and we criticize the things that we don't like or the things that aren't quite right. Or we expect other people to measure up, and so we're beginning to... And that's a horrible place to be, because actually it becomes very critical. And we can't... We start thinking about what other people are doing instead of about our own relationship with God. Or are we people who are lovers in worship? Because people who love, they don't think about themselves or what they're getting. They think about the other people. They think about the one that they're worshiping and loving. And so they are free and they're delighted when other people come in and they change things and they make mistakes and they do things that we don't normally like. That's fantastic. Because I'm not worried about what you do. I just love God and I'm just pleased that you're here with me. So let's make sure that as we come into church on Sunday, week by week, we're not coming expecting things for ourselves to feel better or to have wonderful worship, all those kind of things. But we come to express our love for God, whatever happens, and to show love to those around us, whether they're perfect or not. And that's kind of reassuring, really, because I'm not perfect. And I hope that you come here willing to love me, regardless of whether I do the right thing or not, or whether I preach for too long, or whatever it might be. That we are to be those who come not to consume worship, but to love God through it, and to rejoice in each other. Because then this is a place that equips us to go forth and a place that we can happily bring people back to be a part of. Do you know, I just turned over my page and you'll be delighted to know that there is nothing written on it. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you don't call us to do those things that are outside of all that we have. Sometimes you do put us outside our comfort zone, but particularly when it comes to talking about our faith, you don't ask us to pretend or to be anything other than we are. And you simply want us to share what we have learned of you and what you will show of us. Thank you for these wonderful people here and for all that we can share and your love for us. And we pray that as we go forth this week, as maybe we open our eyes and our hearts to little possibilities, give us the vision and the desire to make little step changes that might give us opportunities just to share a little bit about who you are and why we love you in natural ways. And let us come back rejoicing, because you are with us wherever we go, even to the end of the age. Amen.